Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's show. Man, I'm already getting hit. I even got started. Today, we're going to be in controversy in all kinds of ways, shapes, and manners. Now, I want Canadians, especially Canadians, you guys in New Zealand, down in Australia, across Europe, U.S., South Africa, the United Kingdom, I want you to pay close attention to some details because they are trying to F with our heads again and again. The World Economic Forum must leave Canada. We need to demand that the World Economic Forum leaves this country. They need to be expelled out of Canada. They will be the death of this country. The fiscal policies and the shutdown mandates and the propagation of the Emergency Act. This is all World Economic Forum. We need to get rid of this shit out of Canada. This is a cancer that has been placed inside of this country that will destroy this country. Now, somebody's saying, why am I saying this? Okay, let me give you a little bit of an example. How about a bunch of them tonight? How much of you are paying attention to the thing going on in Ukraine? Is there a war going on in Ukraine, or is this also being fictitiously staged? Some of you saying, are you effing crazy? And I'm saying, maybe you better take a look at what you're looking at. There's been some reports today saying that the bombings that we're hearing were already filmed and recorded from a previous incident that happened a long time ago. Then I'm watching American journalists walking down some of the major cities in the Ukraine, and I'm not seeing any damage from any explosive missiles, any fires, any bullet marks, and no glass is broken. Streets are nice and clean. And this guy's walking down the neighborhood. Nobody around. Now, let me give you a kind of a synapse here. I lived in New York City back in the 1980s. And when I was there, you used to have to go down this neighborhood to get to where I had to work in a warehouse. Because New York is a warehouse capital, I think. Anyway. So when you walk down the street looked like shit. It was a ghetto slum. I mean, it was wore out. Dirty, dingy, you know, whatever. So, but there were weeks we couldn't walk down these neighborhoods because Hollywood was there filming. And Hollywood would clean up the area so it looked nice and neat. Nothing was around. Everything was clean. And they could now film their scenes that they needed to film to give us the story, give us the program, give us the whole shooting match. And then I thought about what I was seeing, and it reminded me of the same situation. They cleared out the people. They're sending them to Poland and other countries, you know, until this passes over. But I didn't see any signs of anything, to be honest with you, except an American journalist walking down a quiet street. Then I thought, this is now for Canada. Now, you may not agree with me in my assessment here, and that's fine. Yeah, and that's good. I'm not saying there isn't something going on over there. Okay, don't get me wrong. But I don't think it's what we're thinking. Why do you think this was triggered? Think about this for 1 minute now. Why is it all of a sudden at February 22nd, 2022, that this was activated? Why that day? Why did it start now? You know why this all started? Because everybody on the planet started to wake up on this bullshit with these injections, these surveillance devices they're implanting in people. People are waking up now, finding out that they now belong and are the property of Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, the Russian one and the Chinese one. And, you know, you're now the property of the pharmaceutical industry. And people were getting tired of their governments telling them what they could and could not do. Did you notice Did you notice the truckers were out there and they were partying and they were having a good time and nobody was wearing a mask, and yet the numbers of COVID did not go up one inch? There was no outbreak. Nobody died except who the police killed. Can't imagine that. Canadian policemen killing a citizen, a protester, a harmless protester. They killed him. I'm going to show you that tonight later on. I want Canadians to wake up on this reality. I want the Kiwis to wake up on this reality. I want the Aussies to wake up on this reality. That the news media may be hiding certain specific facts. Well, they're showing everybody having peace, love, and peaceful protest. Behind the scenes, the police may be killing some of you in the protest. This is a possibility. So I want you all aware, not afraid. So, we have now just got over this truck convoy. We just got over this emergency act. Everyone's pissed off at the government. Everyone thinks the government is about as useless as three tits on a horse. Everyone is just mad, don't care. Now we got a war breakout. All of a sudden, this war broke out of no reason. You see, they always have a contingency here to start a new agenda. And so after this war goes on for a little while, this little make-to-do situation. And the reason why I'm also saying this is because the United States increased its imports of oil from Russia. Imagine that. We're having a war with the Russians. We're buying more oil from the Russians. Does that sound like a payment plan given to the Russians to enact a fiction? Have a Hollywood setup. Eventually they'll make a movie out of it and Russia will get a 10%, 20% cut from the movie. Do you think this is far-fetched? Do you really believe that this couldn't happen or won't happen? Second World War. Let's take a walk on the wild side. Let's take a walk on history. Second World War. Five companies in the United States, super companies. I don't mean super because they were really good. I mean because of their size. GM, Ford, Chrysler, which was called Opel, General Tire, Standard Oil, were trading with Germany. The United States at that time was allied with Germany. Surprise, surprise. Then what happened was war was declared. But while the war was going on, Ford and Standard Oil and General Tire was still trading with Germany while American soldiers and allies were over in Europe fighting to get Europe free. Imagine that. So you think that perhaps the collaboration with, you know, everybody to make a buck, to make a buck, to make a buck at your expense isn't feasible? Doesn't it ever strike anybody a little curiosity that we have this war break out all of a sudden? That they have been preparing for this ever since people started waking up this year? Maybe even late October last year? Think about that for a minute. Think about this for a minute. Now, we got a bigger scandal to cover up in Canada. The police in Ottawa killed somebody, or looks like they killed somebody, because they were protesting, and the guy wasn't doing anything. He'd just stand there, and they killed him. You know. We're looking, like I said, at a lot of things tonight. Some things that we need to look tonight in regarding to what's really going on. This is another setup, another distraction, another takeaway. They are planning, and I'm going to tell you something, they're going to bring all this shit back. They're going to bring all this shit back. I guarantee it. They are going to bring it all back. You know why? Because people have the memory span of a mouse. It's in and out. Choom. and they notice. So now we got this possible fictitious war going on the other side of the planet. Everybody's screaming and hollering, oh, he, ah, who, and all this bullshit. And then today, the Ministry of Health, the Federal Ministry of Health in Canada is saying that we may be returning to the restrictions by the fall. By the fall. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? All this that we have fought for, they want to bring us, put us back in a fucking cage again. You're going to have to wear a mask. You're going to have to get your shot. You're going to have to get another shot. You're going to have to take 10 shots. You need 20 shots. You need 30 shots. Hell, you just need to take the whole freaking thing. You know, slap it in you. Run it intravenous. Just pump it in you. Get it in. Way in. You know. So, the okay, I gotta double check something here now. Someone just brought something to my attention. Where is it? Here we go. Take a look here at the date. Oh, was it? Okay. All right, I made a mistake here. I gotta retract something. I just got caught on this. Yeah, it's dated last year. Okay, sorry about that. Let me retract that thing with the restoring the mandates back by fall. Maybe it will happen. I was looking at something and I didn't check the date. My mistake. Hopefully I didn't alarm too many people. But I am going to say that perhaps we need to be aware that they might try to sneak it back in. Because again, we're now in another distraction. We're now in another distraction. So with this war, and they may enact or reenact something like this again. Yeah, I didn't see the dates. So yeah, I'm looking at this. Someone's just bringing it up to my attention now. But like I said, be prepared for something like this again because, okay, we are in an election. The reason why a lot of this is going back as well is because we're now in an election. Ontario's going to an election. And like I said, this is all a show. All a show. Till we see Chrystia Freeland leave. Till we see, because we need to get rid of that thing too. Another WEF candidate there. I mean, they place Trudeau and her. So if Trudeau gets kicked out for whatever reason, she takes over. And that ain't going to be any better. And we need to all, like I said, be on our game here. We all need to be on our game. Yeah, because the headline when it came out, it said recent, and this is why I was looking at this, but I'm thinking that this slipped out, and I'm thinking, okay, the date, now I'm looking at the date's not right, but then it dawned, I mean, maybe they're bringing this out again to get everybody ready. Be prepared for another round of bullshit. They're saying we got to live with it, and then they're going to come up with some new variant, and I'm saying this so that everybody doesn't let down their guard. We cannot let down their guard, our guard. We can't trust them. None of them. You know, I've said this for a long time. We can't trust them on any level because...
Yeah, and finally, new rule, you're not going to win the battle.
Hold on.
The 21st.
We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted. With what's going on around us, we need to stay focused in North America, and the rest of the Commonwealth needs to stay focused. Okay, so like I said, I'm retracting it for now. I saw the wrong article. It was my mistake. I should have checked the date closer. I just saw this and thought, shit, here we go again. And because, again, I'm at a point where I don't believe anything I'm seeing when it comes to our government. We need to be on our game. That's all I'm going to say. Don't get caught up in the Ukrainian thing. Don't get caught up in that distraction. Now, I am going to play something tonight. I think it's something good to show. Before I show you the bad shit, I'm going to show you some good stuff. You know, someone said, always says to me, whatever. So I'm going to, now again, I don't put a lot of stock in any politician or any government. But I want you to hear something, because I want Canadians to start to think if they're going to continue screwing around with your money, because the banks are crying now, the banks are screaming that they're losing money. People are withdrawing their money out of the bank. This should be enough to call a non-confidence vote on the government. Because nobody's feeling confident about Canada if you're pulling your money out of the bank. So let me play this. This is from Florida at a CPAC. Let me play this. And then we'll continue. Hold on.
Florida set an all-time record for domestic tourism coming into our state. And those record numbers include a number of lockdown politicians who lock down their own people, restrict their own people, mandate governors, mayors, big TV hosts. They criticize Florida, and the first chance they get, what do? They escape to freedom in the state of Florida. And why do even these biggest critics and lockdowners come to Florida? Well, I think it's simple. From the very beginning, we refused to let this state descend into some type of Faustian dystopia where people's freedoms are curtailed and their livelihoods are destroyed. We protected people's rights. We protected people's jobs. We protected small businesses, and we made sure that every kid in the state of Florida had an opportunity to go to school in person 5 days a week. In Florida, we reject the biomedical security state, which erodes liberty, harms livelihoods, and divides our society. And we not only reject it if it's government, we have done things like ban vaccine passports and mandates. Because it's unacceptable to simply subcontract out Fauciism to big companies. So we stood for freedom across the board, and the result has been Florida has defeated Fauciism. Freedom has prevailed in the Sunshine State. And Florida led when it counted. We led early on when the weight of the world was coming, bearing down on our shoulders. Everything we did, we were taking incoming. I remember the summer of 2020. We had the kids saying, you got to go have the kids in school. The teachers' unions, they would put coffins outside the Department of Education building in Tallahassee. They sued me to close the school. But we stood strong, and part of the reason we stood strong is we understand what it means to be a leader. Not just be a politician that twists in the wind, but be willing to make the tough decisions. I look back at President Eisenhower's farewell address. Many of you remember it because he warned about the military-industrial complex. That was smart. He was right. But if you read that speech, he also warned about the dangers of a rising scientific and technological elite. Government was funding more scientific research, and he said when that happens, there's a danger that public policy can be held captive by this scientific elite. And he said, the job of the statesman is not to subcontract out your policy to health bureaucrats or other type of bureaucrats. The job of the statesman is to lead, to take all the interests in society and make sure you're doing what's in the public good. So many governors over the last 2 years would simply defer to health bureaucrats because it was a safe thing to do politically. If things went bad, they can say, hey, the bureaucrats told me I had to do this. Yeah, you lost your job. Sorry, your business is done. The kids are locked out of school, but they're telling me I have to do this. That is not what we did in Florida. And we did it when it wasn't popular. We did it when we were taking fire. And we did it because my duty is to stand up and protect the freedoms and the jobs of the people I represent. And if that puts me in political jeopardy, then so be it. I will stand with them. I'm not going to try to protect my own hide. And I really believe that Florida not led the way, this country could look like Canada or Australia. We sometimes take freedom for granted. You should not do that after the last 2 years. It is contested. The left does not want to honor our freedoms, and we have responsibility to fight back on all fronts. People are coming to Florida because they want freedom. Even our critics are doing it, but I can tell you there's one fella that just hates Florida, and his name is Joe Biden. He's always criticizing us, always trying to take pot shots at Florida. He does things like take our medication. He sniffs storm victims of relief just because he doesn't like the governor. He doesn't like Florida, and he doesn't like me because we stand up to him. That's why he doesn't like us. Last year, we called a special session to protect every Florida job from Biden's vax mandates, and we succeeded. We've sent people to the Texas border and are suing Biden over his catch and release policy because he is not following the Constitution by letting our borders be overrun. We stand up against the weak on crime policies that is ravaging cities all across the country and what he supports, and we are standing against his reckless fiscal policies where they printed trillions of dollars, and now we have rampant Bidenflation. The inflation is because of his policies, and we're not going to let anyone forget that. So all told, he's had the worst first year of any president since the 1800s. And as Biden flounders, Florida is leading on issue after issue. We have the largest budget surplus and the lowest per capita tax burden in the entire United States, and no income tax, and we won't have that as long as I'm governor. When I became governor, Florida had the most liberal state Supreme Court in the country. I replaced three liberal justices with conservative justices. We now have the most conservative Supreme Court in the country. Since I became governor, we've banned sanctuary cities in the state of Florida. We are in the process of getting money from the legislature so that if Biden is dumping illegal aliens into Florida from the southern border, I'm rerouting them to Delaware. To get an education and make the most of life's opportunities. We in Florida were one of the first states to stand up and protect women's athletics. We're not going to let our young girls and our women athletes have opportunities denied to them because of ideology and political correctness. We were the first big state to legislate against big tech censorship because they want to silence us. They want to deplatform us, and we cannot have a free society if most of the speech in this country is controlled by a handful of left-wing oligarchs in Silicon Valley. We are a law and order state in the state of Florida. We reject weak on crime policies. We reject Soros-funded prosecutors. And we have said, after the 2020 summer riots, we called up the National Guard here immediately. We had law enforcement. We said we are not letting Florida cities burn down, and we didn't. But we've also since then signed the strongest anti-rioting legislation in the country, which says we will not let local governments defund the men and women of law enforcement and put their citizens at risk. And if you riot in the state of Florida, if you loot, if you're engaged in mob violence, this is not going to be like Portland, where they arrest you, take your mugshot, slap you on the wrist, and put you right back on the street to do it again. No, in Florida, you're not getting a slap on the wrist. You are getting the inside of a jail cell. Because we will not spend taxpayer money to teach our kids to hate our country or to hate each other, we have banned CRT. And instead, we have the most robust civics education anywhere in the country. We're going to have citizenship exams for graduating seniors, and we're giving teachers the opportunity to go through a civics boot camp and get a $3,000 bonus. Yes, we're against CRT, but what are we for? I'm for the Constitution. I'm for the Bill of Rights. And we need to have our young people understand what that means. Because the rule of law is paramount, Florida has done more than any other state in the country to ensure the integrity of our elections. One of the first things I did when I became governor back in 2019, when people weren't talking about election integrity, was accept the resignation of the Broward County Supervisor of Election and remove the supervisor from Palm Beach County. We didn't change the rules when COVID came. We followed the law. We counted 99% of the ballots by midnight on election night. It was transparent. It was fair. We did a good job. But we also understood there were a lot of shenanigans in other parts of the country. So last year, I signed legislation banning ballot harvesting in the state of Florida. Banning mass mail balloting, unsolicited mail ballots in the state of Florida. And maybe most important, we have banned sucker bucks in the state of Florida. We're not going to let a tech titan commandeer the machinery of our elections by pouring hundreds of millions of dollars in for partisan purposes. That will not happen in the state of Florida, and we are doing even more this year. Now, people are coming to Florida, yes, to visit, but also just picking up and moving. We have led the nation in net in-migration since COVID started. But I can tell you, this is not just because we have lower taxes, because we've always had lower taxes. These are people who are fleeing leftist governments in this country and even around the world. People will sometimes ask me, Governor, all these people are moving here from blue states. Are they just going to vote the same way and make our state a blue state basket case like the states they came from? Well, when I got elected governor in 2018, there were almost 300,000 more registered Democrats in the state of Florida than Republicans. And Florida has never had more registered Republicans and Democrats in our history of our state. Today, standing here in February of 2022, there are 82,000 more Republicans registered in the state of Florida. And it's not just people coming from blue states. There are people that look to Florida as the citadel of freedom who are chafing under authoritarian rule all across the world. I recently got a letter from Samuel from Australia, and he said, quote, there isn't much hope right now here, and many of us are fearful of what our leaders have in store for us. I look to you and your great state of Florida for hope during this dark time. Thank you for standing up for us. And we have done that. Canadians are writing in, Australia, Europe, you name it. And I think they understand what the stakes are, and they look to us of what protecting freedoms a lot means. And I think about what the left's trying to do. I got into politics about 10 years ago. I ran for Congress. I had never been involved. And my mission was largely to stop Barack Obama, who was president at the time. I even wrote a book, which was read by about a dozen people, that talked about some of the problems, how it was not consistent with the values that the country was founded on. And I stand by that. Those were good fights, important fights. But I got to tell you, I look back at that time, it almost seems a little quaint to me. Because the threats we face to freedom, the threats we face to a just society, are much more pervasive than they were just 10 years ago. I mean, think of what the left wants to do. What are their political aims? If they had just elected a couple more U.S. senators, they were going to pack the U.S. Supreme Court. They were going to make D.C. a state, so they'd have two radical left-wing Democrat senators for life. They were going to abolish the Electoral College so California could elect the president, and they wanted to federalize fraudulent ballot practices. Now, say what you want about that. That is not an agenda that very many American families are sitting across the dinner table from each other saying, oh man, I wish we could make D.C. a state, or I wish we could pack the Supreme Court. No, that's not what people have on their mind. They're concerned about gas prices, crime, the border, all the disorder around the world. That's what they're concerned about. They're doing that, though. The left wants to do that because their goal is not to make our country great. It's to marginalize the conservative half of the country. They want us to be powerless. They want us to be voiceless. They want us to be second-class citizens. And what are these ideological aims? The woke is the new religion of the left. And this is what they have in mind. That's why they want CRT, because they want to divide the country. That's why they remove statues of Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt. Take George Washington's name off schools, because they want to erase that history. They want to delegitimize our founding institutions, and they want to replace that with their left-wing ideology as the foundational principles of our modern-day society. Wokeism is a form of cultural Marxism. It is not just about raising taxes or bad economic policy. It's about tearing at the fabric of our society and trying to replace it with something that will be much, much more sinister. And the problem that we face as conservatives is a lot of major institutions in our country have become infected with this woke virus. You look at academia, do we even need to discuss that? Their main objective now is to impose an ideological worldview on the people that come through their universities. You look at corporate America, they're mentioning it. They're opposing voter ID. Many of them make a lot of money from Chinese slave labor, but they don't want voter ID in the United States. So they are engaging in woke activism. You look at our bureaucracy and how totally off the rails they have become in many different agencies. And it's not just limited to people like Fauci. You have it across the board where this has become a major behemoth. You look at the corrupt and dishonest legacy media in this country and what they're doing to divide us and what they're doing to prop up the regime. They are not in the business of telling the truth. They're in the business of spinning partisan narratives to be able to benefit their side. They don't speak truth to power. They're defending the regime in power. And if you speak up, they come after you. They'll smear you. They'll defame you. All they do day after day is concoct a blizzard of lies to try to deceive the American people. And make no mistake, that's going to intensify leading up to November. They're going to try to do anything they can to relieve the blame off Biden and to try to fool the American people into keeping Democrats in office. We're not going to let them do it, but that's what we're facing. And then maybe to top it off, we have big tech. Big Tech is now the number one institution for censorship in this country. They are working with the legacy media. They're working with the Biden regime to try to marginalize conservative voices. Anyone that dissents from their orthodoxy is a target. And so this is significant stuff. This is freedom that's being on all different fronts that's coming under assault. And so here's where we're at. When you have a society that's veering away from the truth, anybody that stands up and speaks the truth will come under fire. That is going to happen. And so in times like these, there is no substitute for courage. Having the courage to stand up against things like cancel culture, having the courage to reject corporate media narratives, having the courage to take on institutions like Big Tech, having the courage to stand in the way of the Brandon administration. So we have an opportunity to make 2022 the year that America fought back. We're going to lead the charge here in Florida, but we need people all over the country to be willing to put on that full armor of God, to stand firm against the left schemes. You'll be met with flaming arrows, but the shield of faith will stop them. You will emerge victorious. And so I can tell you this, in Florida, we will be standing our ground. We'll be holding that line. We are not going to back down. We've accomplished more in this state than anyone thought possible, but I can tell you this, we have only begun to fight. Thank you all. God bless you.
Now, I wanted you all to hear that, and it makes me think, have you heard any of our premiers talk this way in Canada? Have you heard Ford? Have you heard the premier of Quebec? How about Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, PEI, Newfoundland? How about Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta? How about BC? I mean, we got a we got a minister that's screwing around with our money. And I said in the last show, you might want to think about putting your money in the U.S. I'm even telling you now, you may want to consider putting your money in Florida. And maybe you might want to contact the governors of the states down there that are open to open the immigration, maybe to Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders, as an asylum to maybe relocate. Because if the World Economic Forum continues to kill this country, you ain't gonna have a country. You're gonna have exactly what they told you you're going to have. You're gonna have absolutely nothing, and you're going to be happy. I don't know about the happy part, because every time I ever had nothing, I was always pretty pissed off. I wasn't happy. And you're not going to have the opportunities in this country to be able to change and to evolve and become better. And if you're used to living on a government handout, I got news for you. They own you. You're their little bitch that they can slap around any way, anytime, any shape. They can tell you to drop your pants, bend over, and jab 100 needles in your arse, and you got no say, because they have bought you. They have bought you like a merchandise, and they can do what they see fit to do to you. Now, his speech is inspiring. Now, again, I don't believe in any of these politicians. I'm not all that, you know, I don't sway that easy. But he made some points. Florida had an open policy. They rejected the bullshit. And you know what? None of our premiers in this country got to have the testicular fortitude to do this. We don't even have a parliament that will do it. We got two, you know, Tiny Tims there, the NDP and the Liberal Party leaders, you know, dancing a jig with each other. Meanwhile, the country's set on fire. Meanwhile, the WEF is just moving in. Because these are the kind of leaders that something like the WEF needs in order to conquer a country without firing a bullet. Now I'm going to play something else. This is going to be not so fun. We need to understand that we are living in tumultuous times. We're living in times where the media, as he pointed out, and the tech giants are trying to censor the truth. You don't have freedom of speech in Canada. You have controlled freedom of speech in this country. Go ahead and speak your mind about what's really going on. See how fast YouTube pulls you down. See how fast Facebook pulls you down. You know, see how fast. I was on Wimkin for a while because Wimkin came out. Oh, we're going to be better than Facebook. You'll be able to freedom of speech or you can write whatever you want. Shit, they crashed my site 3 times. Every time I asked them where was my information, they lost it in the server. I told them to go F themselves. Another controlled media. Total bullshit. All of that crap. So they are having control in Canada because the leadership we have in this country are like prostitutes. They're all prostitutes. Basically, if you give them the dough, away you go. If you got the hay, you can play. That's just how it works. Like I said, we're number 2 in corruption in the world. India's number 1, we're number 2. Venezuela's number 3. Now, someone's telling me that Ukraine might be the most corrupt government in the world. That's quite possible. But I'm going to tell you now, we don't even have this kind of attitude with our politicians here. They won't fight to get rid of the WEF. They won't fight for any of it. They won't tell Chrystia Freeland that her policies need to be dropped. The idea that you're going to freeze our accounts at the whim because a banker might not like you because you might have a last name that doesn't sound like Smith, Bob, or George. They might not like you because you have a suntan. They might not like you because you speak another language. They might not like you because you're a heterosexual. Yeah, you know, that may sound odd and bizarre, but that's the way it is. If you're transsexual, homosexual, or lesbian, hey, you can walk anywhere you want. They treat you like whatever, but you say you're a heterosexual. Oh, that guy's genetic code is intact. No, you can't come to the bank. We need the corrupt to come here. That's what I mean. Yeah, we don't. These standards, these ethical and moral standards, don't even exist here. And then we got the leadership at the top with their left-wing liberal bullshit. Has no moral anything. That doesn't even. It's not even exercising equality. If everybody's being treated on a fair basis, why are they arresting a minister in Alberta? Which also may be staged, may not be. See, I gotta say these this way nowadays because I gotta get you all to think in this term. Don't trust the government. You don't know what you're seeing anymore. You don't know what you're only seeing what they're presenting to you. The problem is we assume that government and people are the same. They're not. The people you associate with, for the most part, are pretty genuine and straight down to earth, and you know, friendly generally. But when you're dealing with a politician, you're dealing with somebody that can speak out of both sides of his mouth and fart out of both sides of his torso. You know, they will tell you whatever shit you want to believe. They'll make you believe that they're on your side, and in the end, they'll screw you. Look at our prime minister. He's done nothing but act antagonistic to Canada and to Canadians. So now I'm going to play something. You know, that isn't going to be pleasant. I'll be first to tell you, it's not going to be that pleasant. But you may want to pay attention here. Now, I'm going to leave that link up so you can look at it. You know, it's from a Ontarian MPP, you're a member of parliament. I'll let you listen to it. And if you look at the videos, there's 2 of them. They're going to be unnerving, because they actually killed a protester. It looks like they killed a protester. Let me put it that way. It looks like they killed a protester in the protest in Ottawa. Now, those Masons that lived there might say, oh, good, we killed one of them, you know, because it's all Masonic over there. Let's call it what it is. This is why you had the complaints. They got everybody on the same side. They didn't stand for Canada, did they? The people of Ottawa did not stand for Canada. Imagine that. You know. So when we're looking at, you know, all these complaints, and again, the complaints may have all been staged. The mayor's making a complaint. Well, my city shut down. Well, it's a protest. People have a right to have a protest, and they have a right to shut down the city. Ottawa does belong to Canada, doesn't it? Isn't Ottawa running on Canadian taxpayer dollars? Doesn't the Confederation have transfer payments? Excuse me, that go to everybody across this nation? So Ottawa belongs to Canadians. And if the majority rules, all of a sudden it doesn't work anymore when the majority is going against the narrative. Excuse me. When we're looking at things in Canada, we need to really be objective and not be swayed by our emotions. We're too easy to forgive and too easy to be tolerant. And we forget what they do. So let me play this. John Heller is making a comment here, so let me present this. Hold on. Give me 1 second.
On Friday, February 18th, for the first time in my memory, we saw the use of violence and abuse, and even the trampling of peaceful Canadian citizens by the police in Ottawa. It was a reprehensible display of authority and excessive force by our police. We know now, as a result of that, there are two special investigations unit investigations regarding serious injury at that peaceful protest. But we don't know who they are, or the extent of their injuries, or their names. I've recently come into possession of a video that I want you to watch. The video is from Friday the 18th in Ottawa. It is a video from TikTok of somebody videotaping a TVA, what appears to be a TVA broadcast, news broadcast of the same day. We can no longer find that video on the TVA website, and we can no longer see the video on TikTok. It has been scrubbed. But we do have it in our possession. I'd like you to look at it now. It shows what appears to be a severely injured or lifeless individual being dragged by two police officers outside of a swarm of police and protesters in Ottawa. Please take a look at this closely. One is clearly the police. It appears the other one is also a police officer, who are dragging this body from the crowd. We don't know who this person is. We don't know the extent of the injuries, if any. And the police have been silent on this, as well as the original video being scrubbed off TikTok and the news broadcast from TVA being scrubbed as well. I think the Canadian people deserve answers, truthful answers, accountable and open and transparent answers of what actually transpired in Ottawa during the Emergency Act, we know that our Prime Minister and our Chief of Police, the Mayor of Ottawa, and the Premier of Ontario, Doug Ford, have all described this in very, very reprehensible terms of what this protest actually was. I was there for nearly 3 weeks. In my entire time in Ottawa, I never once saw protesters engaged in aggressive, let alone violent behavior. Indeed, I would describe my time in Ottawa as a very festive, a very friendly, a very family-oriented protest about public policy. The people there were demonstrating that they disagreed with the current policies of our federal and provincial governments, and they were protesting for a return to normal. At no time was Parliament Hill occupied. At no time were anybody threatened with violence that I saw. The police still have not provided any evidence of this armed insurrection that they suggest was underway. There has been no display of firearms or body armor or anything else attributed to the protest, to the Freedom Convoy. At no time has the Prime Minister provided a shred of evidence that this was anything other than a peaceful protest by law-abiding, freedom-loving Canadians. So take a look at this video. I'm going to send it to the Attorney General, to the Solicitor General, to the SIU, and I want them to explain to the people of Canada what happened to this person who was dragged out of the crowd and never heard or seen from again, let alone explained. We know that our government has taken great latitude to misrepresent the protest in Ottawa. They have created a false and deceptive narrative. It is time for all Canadians to stop listening to the narratives and start viewing the facts. If there are facts that would warrant this, then it is imperative and an obligation of our government to reveal what those facts are. In the absence, then we must go with the facts that we do know, the facts that it was a very peaceful, festive protest, including bouncy castles, including road hockey games, including pancake breakfasts, including speeches on stages, and no violence. We are in a dark period of time. If our governments are giving the full sway to deceive Canadian people, to misrepresent lies, and what appears possibly to be engaged in a cover-up of evidence. What happened to this man? What is the extent of their injuries? Who is it? It's time for Justin Trudeau, Doug Ford, Jim Watson, and the Ottawa Police Chief Steve Bell to come clean and let us know what the facts and the truth are and how many people were seriously injured by the excessive use of force by the Ottawa Police and other police services under their command. Please share this video far and wide. All Canada needs answers to what happened in Ottawa on February 18th, 19th, and the 20th.
There you go. What a difference, isn't it? Here in Canada, we are We are dealing with violence toward Canadians. Imagine that, our own government attacking us just because we didn't want to be part of a surveillance experiment to have things injected in our bodies that have never been tested, but because they had investments by these Pfizers and all the rest of them, they were getting their 30% kickback. They didn't want it to stop. They thought this they could continue with their bleeding of Canadians. They didn't give a fuck about Canadians. All they cared about was that 30% kickback. And now we got, and there's another video in the link. They're dragging a guy. It's in here too. Guy looks like he's dead. Now he may be knocked out. Maybe he had a concussion. I don't know. But why was that? Why was that kind of violence brought in? Why were these hired thugs, dressed as police force, brought in? I think they're all UN. Myself, that's my thinking. One guy was telling me they were coming from Quebec. They may have been as well. But there was no need for any violence. In fact, if you look through some of the protests, a lot of policemen were shaking the hands of the protesters. A lot of them agreed with what was going on, but they couldn't make a statement. So here we got this bullshit going on again. Every Canadian needs to stay vigilant in this country. Every Commonwealth country needs to pay attention to what's going on in your movements to make sure that you're all protecting each other from the violence that could occur here. Look, I saw, what was it, in New Zealand? When they grabbed this young woman, she was butt naked, literally, and they drug her out by the scalp of her hair. Something was wrong there. A lot of different things. I don't know, again, was it staged? Was it real? But the violence that they were depicting there was unbelievable. And there's been violence in those movements as well. So we need to really ascertain what's going on and understand that these governments are not on our side. They're working for the World Economic Forum, and this World Economic Forum needs to go home. And I do believe they are probably sitting there reevaluating and figuring out when's the best time to come in, because they'll have everybody distracted with this Ukrainian bullshit going on. How convenient this now has started when everybody in throughout the planet is saying, F these mandates, they don't work. Even Ford in Ontario is saying, well, you know, the guy's got three shots and he's still catching it, so we got to move on. We got to live. We got to do this. Meanwhile, he made $55 million while this was all going on. Where'd that money come from? How come there's no investigation? You know why? Because we don't have any legitimate law enforcement agency that actually reflects Canadians. How is it that the RCMP can make a request to the general population, if you hear anybody talking anti-government, anti-law enforcement, anti-this, report them? Are we now Nazi Germany? We're going to betray each other? It's insane what they're doing. Totally illegal. And again, there should be an investigation within the RCMP on this kind of nonsense. Whether that'll happen or not, I doubt it. I have no high hopes on that whatsoever. Everybody in this country needs to stay vigilant, because we're going to lose the country to a foreign power. That foreign power is called the World Economic Forum, and our parliament isn't doing a fucking thing to stop it. Someone just sent me an email about, what is it? Give me a second here. Pierre Poilievre, last night I joined a rally held by Ottawa Ukrainian community. We need to help Ukraine defend itself against Russia's unacceptable aggression. And then the comment was, isn't it amazing he joined a rally with Ukraine but never attended a freedom rally for Canadians? This is all of them, not just the conservative. You know, don't say, well, I'm a liberal. See, you know, but the liberals didn't do nothing either. In fact, they were the ones that instigated the violence against Canadians. Look at the leader of the parliament. What is he again? Oh, liberal. With his little sidekick there, Tutu, from the NDP. Tutu. Hey, Tutu, come here, Tutu. Tutu, come here, Tutu. I need a vote. Okay. I need some. I need more money. I got some debts I gotta pay. I went to the casino the other night, lost my ass. I need more money. Okay, Tutu, vote. Tutu, come on, Tutu. You know, Tutu. You know, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. This is not anti-government. This is the way it is. This is the criminal activity we've got going on in the system. We need to really wake up here and stay on our toes. We are losing the country to a foreign power called the WEF. And America needs to pay attention to this same situation because it's hitting the whole Commonwealth. I got news for you. You're part of that too. And they are. And you got everyone needs to be vigilant on this. If we want to sustain the ideals, because there is really no democracy, but the ideals of democracy and the ideals of freedom, because we don't have that either. Now, we need to maintain a certain vigilance in order for us to obtain that concept, those concepts, and make them a reality. If we are going to have freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of worship, then Christians should not be thrown in jail because they had made a speech at a rally to truck drivers about their country's history and about needing to take a stand in order to maintain and sustain their freedom. There was nothing wrong with what he said. There was nothing that he was, no violent activity. There was nothing that he was saying that was in regard to overthrowing the government. He was basically saying that if we don't take a stand, we are going to lose everything. And the WEF's mantra, you'll own nothing and be happy, will become a reality. You know, so we need to really wake up on that realm. Like I said, I don't put a lot of stock in any politician, and they are now going to get into the whole agenda of the Ukraine. They want to defuse the injections. They want to defuse the pharmaceutical industry's negligence, and they want to defuse the bioweaponry that they warp speeded through the population to infect 60% of the planet. It's a sad day. I mean, this is a planet that's a little fucked up, if you ask me, that a political party of any kind would violate the people that they represented by injecting them with a bioweapon that will kill most of them within a year to a year and a half. Their own people. And then they had the audacity, well, we're going to take a stand for this and take a stand for that. How about taking a stand for fucking Canada? Why not take a stand for this country and keep it from the grips of a foreign power takeover? That, wouldn't everybody like to see that? I'd be impressed. You know, after listening to DeSantis there, I mean, like I said, he has a very inspiring speech. Took a stand, they weathered the storm, and they came out ahead. We need to do the same in this country. And the rest of the Commonwealth needs to do the same. And I think we need to reevaluate seriously the authority of the royal family. Because how much have they impeded our democratic rights or our ideas of democracy? In fact, they were encouraging everybody to take the damn jab. So what's that saying about them? They don't care about their subjects either. All they care about is the revenue they're collecting. And keeping the Commonwealth in a state of slavery. Like I said, perhaps that needs to be reevaluated. Maybe that needs to be dealt with. Just some ideas I'm throwing out there, because it's serious when you're having government institutions violently violate rights of Canadians just before a protest. So we'll see what happens in the United States with their convoy. I can't see where I'm at here. Oh, I'm gone over a little bit. Okay, I wanted to touch up on a couple more things, so I'll be quick here. Chile is also passing legislation for mutants from injections not to be discriminated against. They are already calling people that have been injected with vaccines in or injections in Chile mutants. I'm not kidding you. Legal impact of mRNA vaccine. Chile enacts anti-discrimination laws against mutants. I can't make this up. How many of you in Canada now are Canadian mutants? Imagine that. As I was, I'm going to go back a little bit on just one more thing. The again, evidence about the fake pandemic. Another one saying there's been no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. And I've been saying that for how long? There's been no evidence. But again, watch your assets. Start pulling your money out of your bank accounts. Look at, like I said, Wise.com or some other means of transferring money or opening up accounts elsewhere. Like I said, maybe there needs to be a writing campaign to the states like Florida and other states that are open, like New Mexico, to offer asylum to Canadians so that they can relocate and live there and, you know, open up an opportunity for them to obtain an immigration status. It's something to be considering. If we can't see any changes in this country and they're ready to abandon us and to take everything away from us, and perhaps maybe we should take everything away from them and leave. That's another option. I'm not saying that we should do this, but it's something to consider. It's something to really consider, because they think that we're stupid and they think they can just do whatever the fuck they want to do. Perhaps maybe we need to show them that that isn't the case. Something to think about. And I think everybody needs to reevaluate where they're putting their money. And if there is a bank that's discriminating against you, then tell them very politely that I'm closing my account. I'm withdrawing all my money from you. And I want it in cash, not checks, not anything else. I don't give a shit about your policy. I've been giving you cash. I want my cash. And that's how you need to state this. Because see, the only way you hurt rich people, really rich people, is by taking away your money from their system. Take your money away from their system, guess what happens? They will kiss your ass every which way but loose. That's how it rolls. That's how it rolls, and that's how it goes. Always have cash on hand at home. Never leave it all in the bank, just in case there is a bank in. You know, and you can't trust Krista Freeland either. Krista Freeland is not somebody to trust. No different than Trudeau. So again, these are things to consider tonight. What kind of Canada do we really have? How do we evaluate Canada? Ukraine, I don't give a shit about Ukraine. No offense to the Ukrainians, but we have a civil unrest here in this country, a government that's destabilized, a foreign power that's conquering us. While they're having this little skirmish and this little show and tell in Ukraine with the United States and Russia selling oil to each other and then moving in and pretending that there's something going on there, and again, maybe there is. The World Economic Forum is proceeding to conquer Canada while we're being distracted with the Ukraine. Mark my words. That's what's going on, and we need to really pay attention to Canada. Fuck the world. Fuck everything going on around the world right now. We need to stay focused here in this country so that they don't slip in. You know, all this politicizing that these MPs do because they're trying to vie for a seat in the House or whatever. That's all show and tell. What are they doing for Canada? What is Paul Avera doing for Canada? What is Bergman doing for Canada? We know Trudeau's doing nothing for Canada. What is Ford really doing for Ontario? Is he throwing out a little crumb and keeping the bone for himself, you know. like I said, pay attention. Don't be swayed and be so cheap. It'd be a cheap buyout. Make them pay. They have cost us 2 years of our lives and our economy. Make them pay. We're not going to have you buy your driver's license. You don't have to worry about license plates on your cars anymore. You don't have to renew them, blah, blah, blah. Are you freaking kidding me? Big deal. How many of you have lost your businesses? Is that going to really help? How many of you lost your jobs? Is that going to really help? Again, he's throwing a little crumb. People are so easily bought these days. Oh, we're going to give you a little kickback for your HSD. We'll give you $50 so you can run around, go back to the dollar store and give it right back to us. We'll take care of you. Meanwhile, they're taxing the shit out of you, and our inflation's off the map buying a home in this country. So, make them pay. Don't be cheap. All right, I'm going to leave it go at that. I think it's said enough. I always say at the end of these shows, read the Gospels. There's comfort in reading the Gospels, because you may find there may be some good news in the Gospels that may impact you. You never know. So read the Gospels. Read the book of Acts, how the church evolved. Read the letters to the different churches in different countries. Read the book of Revelations. That's the game book. That's the playbook they're going by. The World Economic Forum is using that playbook to bring on the prophetic utterances. It's the game book, playbook. Watch it, read it. Read what Jesus has to say. Read what Jesus did. Might give you hope. Might inspire you. I keep telling everybody, I'm of the mindset of John 3:16, John 3:17. If you don't know what that is, go read it. You might find those two verses are very profound. I always say at the end of these shows, at the very top of the at the very top, you'll find that there are people there that are trying to do things to help you out. So I encourage you all to check them out, help them out any way you can financially. If you can't, because of the administration's rules in the last 2 years that have cost you your jobs, have cost you your economy, have cost you your security, then my encouragement to you would be to start a business, start some enterprise, or get back on your feet. Don't worry about sharing money, but share the data. Share the information with everybody you can. And we will go from that. So anyway, as I also say at the end of these shows, we're still here by the grace of God. Remember that. So to the next segment, to your house. Take care.